More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, Boundary Boot Camp. Are people failing to respect your borders? We'll explore how healthy boundaries can help and how to set them gracefully. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, Boundary Boot Camp. Fall in line, folks, because we are talking about setting boundaries. If folks are failing to respect your personal borders, we want to help you discover how healthy boundaries can help and how to set them gracefully. The number is 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Are you struggling to set a boundary with somebody who's hurt you or who you feel is taking advantage of you? Maybe you're concerned that the boundary you've set with somebody is too harsh. Or maybe you're okay with it, but they're complaining about the boundary you set. Maybe you keep going back and forth between setting and surrendering certain boundaries because you feel guilty or unsure of yourself. We're talking about what healthy Christian boundaries look like. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
And, you know, this is so confusing for us as Christian people. It just boggles our minds sometimes because, you know, of course, Jesus was and still is always so willing to forgive, yet he was always quick to tell us how to move on in a healthy way with him in relationship. You just have to look at the story of he and Peter when you want to really know that. But then we always sort of have the prodigal father just forgiving from a distance and running to his son. And we're thinking, well, if that's our standard, then shouldn't we just forgive everybody and let them back into our lives, even if they haven't said they're sorry? People can often throw our Christianity at us as a way to intimidate us into breaking boundaries with us. I know that I had a relative who always said, "Aren't you the Christian one?" every time I set any kind of boundary.
You know, but I was thinking, as you were just talking about the story with Jesus and Peter, you're specifically referring to when Peter denies Christ three times, and then, you know, Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?"
After the resurrection, yeah.
Right. Well, but just let's recast this, that scene in, you know, say, a situation that we often find ourselves in.
Okay.
Right? So somebody hurts us, and we go to them and we say, you know, let's just play the scene with Jesus and Peter, okay? So Peter denies Jesus. Jesus comes to Peter and says, "Do you love me?" And Peter's like, "Why can't you just let this go?" And then Jesus says, "You know, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Well, that's not really very Christian of you to keep this hanging over my head, you know." And then Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And then Peter's like, "When are you going to stop? I mean, how come is nothing I do ever good enough for you? Like, I mean, now you're laughing about this, right?"
That's not what Peter did
right,
at all.
You're laughing about this, but that's what we
what
all go
do.
Through.
That's Christians. Why I'm laughing, because it is so common an experience. And instead of being like Peter and saying, "You know that I love you, Lord," and coming at Jesus with that docile, humble spirit that's accepted the next steps, "Feed my sheep." That was what Jesus told him to do in order to be in right order with him again. So many people don't want to hear it. don't want to hear what they need to do to be in a healthy relationship with you. They just want to burst through your gates and have their way.
Well, another good example, and we use this a lot on the show, is the story of the rich young man.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, the rich young man comes to Jesus and says, you know, I keep the commandments. What must I do to be in an even deeper relationship with God? And Jesus says, you know, the scripture says his heart is moved, right? And,
yeah.
And he says, sell all that you have and give the money to the poor and come and follow me. And the guy walks away sad. Now, Jesus didn't condemn him. Jesus didn't say, well, you can't have any relationship with God now since you refused my invitation for a deeper relationship. He just let him have the kind of relationship that he wanted to have with God. And so that's an example of how a boundary isn't a cutoff. But it also helps to order the kind of relationship that we're going to have with people. And there are some people who will respect that boundary and say, oh, you know, that's what it takes to be in deeper relationship with you. Wonderful. Here we go. And I can be closer with that person. They can be in that closer circle of trust, if you will. And other people, I can't trust them as much because they won't respect that boundary as well. And so I can still be in some kind of relationship with them, but the boundaries around that relationship help protect me and clarify what that relationship looks like. So we're talking today about boundaries, healthy Christian boundaries. What do they look like? How do we know when to set them? What should we do to set them? How do we deal with people pushing back against those boundaries when we have set them? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you're struggling to set a boundary with somebody who's hurt you or you feel is taking advantage of you, if you're concerned that the boundaries you've set with someone are too harsh, if people are complaining about the boundaries you've set, or you keep going back and forth between setting them and letting them go because you feel bad about it, we're going to talk about how to navigate all of those situations and more gracefully. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that, and how could it possibly help me set boundaries, well, you've come to the right place. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked kind of a huge question. Basically, he said, if we looked at everything God has given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships?
The theology of the body helps us to see that setting boundaries is not selfish. It's a sign of psychological and spiritual maturity. As Christians, we're called to love generously, but not at the cost of losing our dignity or identity. Love that lacks freedom, clarity, and mutual respect isn't real Christian love. It's actually dysfunction. The theology of the body teaches that every person is a gift created to give and receive love freely, but you can't give what you don't own. Boundaries help us remember who we are so that we know what we have to give. Think of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, perfectly united, yet three distinct persons. Because we're created in God's image, the Trinity is the model for healthy human relationships. Deep communion without losing ourselves in the process. When we don't set boundaries, we risk collapsing into others' expectations and losing the very self God made us to be.
Okay, so what does all that mean practically speaking? Well, first, it means that we need to speak the truth in love. You know, we can't avoid conflict. Instead, we need to communicate clearly and kindly what we need from the other person so that we can feel safe loving them and being loved by them. Second, we need to remember that we are all beloved sons and daughters of God, and good boundaries help remind us to treat each other accordingly. Third, we need to stay consistent, to set limits calmly, to stick to them, and not apologize for having them. And if other people push back against those boundaries, we can prayerfully reflect on whether the boundary we're setting is intended to work for our good, their good, and the good of the relationship. And if it is, we need to keep it up. Boundaries aren't walls. They're gateways to real, life-giving love. They enable us to give ourselves to each other because we're not constantly concerned with protecting ourselves from each other. So let's talk about that today on More to Life. On our show titled Boundary Boot Camp. Are people failing to respect your borders? Well, we're going to help you discover how healthy boundaries can help and how to set them gracefully. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those situations where we're not sure what boundaries to set or how to set them. Help us to model our relationships after your relationships with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us to see how we are called to pursue communion, but without losing our own identity or dignity. And help us, when we set boundaries, to make sure that we're working for our good, the good of the other people involved, and the good of the relationship, so that when people push back, we can point to the fact that we're working to improve the relationship. We're working to create conditions that enable us to love each other well, so that we don't have to be afraid of protecting ourselves from each other and can generously give ourselves to each other. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Boundary Boot Camp. We're talking with you about setting boundaries, maintaining boundaries, knowing whether the boundaries you've set are good ones. 877-573-7825.
Let's start off today with John, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Columbus, Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
John, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you, sir?
Good morning. Thank you so much for all the amazing work you do to heal and build up the people of God. I just had a question about spousal boundaries, I guess. We were recently, okay, my wife and I, advised to set some better boundaries so that we can love each other better. And I'm a bit more of an
Sorry, advised by whom? Was it like a counselor or
yes. Yeah, we're doing couples counseling with a Catholic counselor who used to serve as an SPO missionary. So we're joining those sessions. And
great. All right, so, go ahead.
Yeah, so basically, I'm much more of an introvert. She's a southern extroverted Italian, used to talking over and interrupting anytime she needs or wants to be heard. And I think the main boundary we need to focus on is about our speech. I've noticed our thresholds are getting kind of higher and higher the more time we spend around each other. And I want to make sure that we always speak to each other with kindness, gentleness, charity, etc. So with peace and unity being kind of the two biggest priorities to maintain amongst us in our household, I'm just wondering what kind of boundaries I could set with our speech. We do have, you know, a timeout strategy to call and debrief and cool off.
Is there a specific situation I could help you with? I mean, I could speak to this generally, but I feel like there must be some particulars that you're particularly wanting help with. Is there an example?
Really just a speech when things get too heated, to be able to take that time out and actually reflect on how, you know.
So when you say heated, do you mean you feel like you're being attacked at that point? Or like what does heated mean?
Yeah, I think it's escalating in either aggressiveness or, you know, a lot of criticism or.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not just the talking over, okay? Because I know some of our best friends in the world. I'm Irish. My best friend's Irish. Her whole family was raised the way my kids were raised. We get together. Everybody's talking over each other, but it's a blast. We're following each other's stories. Everybody's great because we love each other, and it's funny, and we always come back to the point.
And so every once in a while, we'll get feedback from listeners who will say, you know, Lisa and
sometimes
I are talking,
we talk
over
each other,
or interrupting each other, which is just that's just our style, and that's okay.
We're
okay
with that. Sounds like your wife's family does a lot of that group talk thing, but what I'm hearing you say, John, is that it's leading to not just talking over and having a particular kind of talking style. It's that it starts to become cruel and degrading in some way.
So I'm actually going to ask you to, I'm going to offer some suggestions here, but I want you guys to follow up with our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Because what you're describing here is a pattern where you're not working with each other to solve a problem, but rather seeing each other as the problem, right? And particularly what you're describing from your wife, that she gets upset about something, and the way she presents it is more of a criticism than it is a complaint. The research by the Gottmans, who are sort of the premier marriage researchers really in the country, talk about the difference between a complaint and a criticism. So a complaint is where you say, hey, I'm really not happy about how this went. Can we talk about how to do this better next time? Right, I'm raising the issue. I'm not ignoring it. I'm not pretending it's not a problem. I'm just saying I'm inviting you to help me solve this problem, even if it's something you did. You know, like John, when you said that, it kind of upset me. You know, I'd like to talk about how to handle those situations differently in the future. Right? You see, like I'm not denying that was a problem, and I'm even saying, hey, look, you know, I was upset with something you did, but I'm not attacking you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying, hey, let's talk about how to handle this. That's a complaint. A criticism is, John, you jerk, I can't believe you did that, and you better never do that again, and how dare you, blah, blah, blah.
And there are names called, and that's a totally different
thing. And that, a criticism in that way is a sign that I am losing control of myself, that what I call my child self brain, okay, so your limbic system, your emotional brain, overrides your thinking brain, and now I'm not problem solving anymore. I'm blaming, I'm attacking, I'm accusing, I'm not solving anything. I'm either trying to overpower you or shut you up or get away. And the problem with that is, even if that strategy, quote unquote, works by shutting down the conversation or getting me my way, it doesn't present a lasting solution. So I might feel good that I vented my spleen all over you, but it doesn't actually solve the problem. So a really key skill that couples need to learn is how to catch their emotional temperature and not always stay perfectly, you know, pinky finger extended tea party conversation, but to be able to approach each other in a way that isn't letting anger be my call to action, but rather a call to prayer. So what you guys are going to need to learn, and we talk about this in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, is when I feel angry or upset, instead of letting me lead with that with my spouse, I need to take some time to say, okay, God, help me figure out what exactly I'm upset about and how I'd like it to go better. Then I can come to you and say, okay, John, look, I'm really not happy with this. I really need your help in figuring out how we can handle this better next time. Can we talk this out? And that's a conversation that will open up. That's not a difference between an extrovert and introvert. That's a difference between somebody who is in a solution-focused mindset versus a misery-making mindset. And we talk about all that in How to Heal Your Marriage. I'm going to encourage you to download the podcast of More to Life later today. Play it for your wife and talk through some of the suggestions that I'm making here. And then pick up the book, you know, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, and talk about it with your counselor. Go through it, because we actually present, it's based on 8 research-based habits that healthy couples have, and it teaches every couple how to integrate those habits into their marriage. I think it'll be a real eye-opener for both of you and give you both a way forward that lets you see how marriage is meant to be a healing sacrament that challenges both the husband and the wife to grow in ways that they might not grow if they were left to their own devices. But God gives you to each other, not because he has a warped sense of humor, but because he wants you to learn from each other things that you need to be able to do better, to be able to build the kingdom and be the people he created you to be and get to heaven in the next life. So check it out, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And if you have more questions on this, don't hesitate to reach back out to us. We'd be happy to field any more specific concerns that you'd like to walk through. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about setting boundaries on our show titled Boundary Boot Camp. If people are failing to respect your borders, you're not sure whether the boundaries you've set are too harsh or not quite enough, or you're just not even sure what it should look like to set a boundary in a particular situation, well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She'll be sharing some insights on setting boundaries. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when we continue after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about boundaries today on our show titled Boundary Boot Camp. We want to help you set good boundaries, maintain those boundaries, and deal with the pushback you get when you set them. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she specializes in the psychology of success and directs the Catholic Counselors Program in Performance Excellence, working with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other people who need to perform under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So, you wanted to share a little bit about how boundaries can help us feel more empowered and create healthier relationships. So where do we even start?
Well, you know, we often think that setting boundaries is mean, that we're just supposed to kind of forgive and forget. But, you know, one, that's a very difficult thing to do because forgiving and forgetting doesn't create change. It just leaves us feeling unsafe, feeling open to being hurt again. And we don't feel seen, heard, or understood. Just because that anger and that hurt, that just anger and hurt about the injustice still exists.
So and we're afraid it's going to happen again, as you said. It made me feel afraid. Yeah,
exactly. And so instead of forgiving and forgetting, what we need to do is forgive and make a plan, not a plan that's hurtful or makes us more powerless, like withdrawing or ignoring the hurt, you know, but a solution-focused plan, a plan that says, here are the boundaries that I need to set and maintain to help have a healthier relationship with this person. Here are the habits that I'm going to put in place and the boundaries I'm going to set with myself in order to trust myself and be more confident in knowing that I won't allow myself to be treated that way again. And remembering that in doing this, you know, I'm working for the good of myself, but I'm also working for the good of the other person, because it's not good for them to be treating me in a hurtful way either.
Well, and I want to point out something here, because forgiving somebody means giving up your desire to hurt them or wish them ill.
Correct.
For having hurt you. And so what you're describing is basically the boundaries are actually part of forgiveness, because boundaries
Absolutely.
Help clarify how we should operate around each other in the future, which actually does work for our mutual good.
Exactly. It allows us to respect each other. It allows us to respect ourselves and the other person. You know, and setting and maintaining boundaries can sound like, you know, some things I allowed in the past no longer work for me, or I've been clear about what I need. And while we can talk about a healthy way to meet that need, I can't compromise on what my need is. You know, or I understand your perspective, but this is what I need to feel safe. You know, and so on and so forth. But again, though, the key here is not to just forgive and move on as though nothing happened. The key is to forgive so that we can create a plan that allows us to move towards that that healing in ourselves, in our relationship, and whatever that ultimately ends up looking like. But doing this allows us to validate our needs in a healthy way. It allows us to respect ourselves and the other person. And this is how we become more empowered and how we respect ourselves and teach others how to respect us as well.
You know, one of the things that we often forget to set boundaries with is kind of ourselves or our expectations of ourselves or other people's expectations. And you're actually going to speak about that in a webinar tonight on perfectionism. Tell us a little bit about that.
I am. Yeah, so tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on Zoom, I'm hosting a webinar called Empowered. It's Overcoming Perfectionism and Achieving Your Goals. So, yeah, we'll be talking about just the practical skills and tools and mindset shifts that we need to set and to make to be able to overcome that perfectionism, overcome those expectations that we set for ourselves or other people that create that pressure, create that exhaustion, and if we can work on those things, it allows us to have those healthier relationships with ourselves and other people. So if you go to CatholicCounselors.com/empowered, you can learn more and save your spot.
Yeah, it's a great way to learn how to set better internal boundaries on your own expectations or those boundaries with other people's expectations so you don't keep falling into that trap of perfectionism. So check it out. Again, it's at CatholicCounselors.com/empowered for tonight's workshop run by Rachel Isaac on perfectionism. You can register for it there, and it's tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we are talking with you about setting boundaries on today's show titled Boundary Bootcamp. It's not easy to set boundaries. It's even harder to maintain those boundaries, especially when people push back, especially when people get upset with us. We feel
guilty.
Keep
on the guilt, yeah.
Because we feel like, you know, if they're mad at me, I must have done something wrong, you know, even if I haven't.
Maybe if they're displeased with me, God's displeased with me. Even though I hear that I'm not, you know, that I'm allowed to set boundaries, it gets crazy in our heads.
Let's talk it out, all right? We want to help you set good boundaries that enable you to have healthy relationships without losing your God-given self. 877-573-7825. Let's talk about what healthy Christian boundaries look like in your situation. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after this.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Was Jesus' risen body the same body he dwelled in while living on earth? According to the Catholic Catechism, it was the same body that was crucified, but it was glorified and different in profound ways from the risen body of Lazarus, which Jesus brought forth from the tomb. Lazarus returned to his same earthly life with the same limitations he had when he left it. Jesus rose with new powers. His body was no longer confined to time and space. He could appear and disappear at will. He could walk through doors. He could also eat and drink, as he did with the apostles, to prove to them that he was not a ghost. He could appear in whatever guise he chose, as he did with Mary Magdalene when she thought he was the gardener. The reality of the resurrection of the body seemed an impossibility to the disciples. They needed the added impetus of God's grace to accept and believe such a reality. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Raising kids is hard. We all do our best, and we all fear that we failed in some way. Especially when our relationship with our adult kids isn't what we wish it was, it's easy to give in to self-recrimination. Blame, especially self-blame, accomplishes nothing except fostering the feeling that we're stuck and powerless. Rather than ruminating about past mistakes, put your energy in what needs to happen to make your relationship stronger today. Look for opportunities to create a stronger connection with your adult kids. Seek out ways to build trust. Take the initiative. Of course, you need to respect your adult children's boundaries, but let them know that you have no intention of giving up on them, and that you're willing to have whatever relationship they're willing to build with you. Start from that point and build from there. Want more tips for strengthening your relationship with your adult kids? Check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Boundary Boot Camp. As we talk about how Christians can set effective boundaries that produce healthy relationships and enable us to be the people God is calling us to be. 877-573-7825.
Before we jump to our next call, we want to remind you of EWTN's coverage of the Jubilee of Youth, which is continuing with a penitential special from Rome tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television and EWTN Radio Extra. And you can also pick it up on EWTN's YouTube channel.
So make sure to check it out if you want to be part of the Jubilee for Youth that's going on right now in Rome. EWTN is providing that coverage to really help us all be able to participate in it. And we know a ton of people who are there. It'd be great to be able to join them in spirit as well.
Well, join them in spirit, but I had a really fun time trying to find our daughter's boyfriend in the crowd. and really see and,
like
and
a
experience.
Where's Waldo of
Catholicism. It really is. The Where's Waldo of Catholicism. Because I know this person. And, oh, is that person over there? And they're texting on WhatsApp and stuff. This is where I am. Try to find me in the crowd. It's really fun to do that. But also the messages coming out of this Jubilee for Youth are so, so inspiring. And seeing the crowd of youth there is also very heartening. So
check it out. Friday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television and EWTN Radio Extra. Continuing coverage of the Jubilee for Youth. With that, we're taking your calls on our show titled Boundary Boot Camp, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Christine, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. My question is how to set boundaries with my husband and the way he treats my kids and I. So, he's very, narcissistic and angry. So I don't know how to handle.
Well, give me an example of a particular situation, because you're using a lot of words that could mean a lot of different things to different people. So give me a concrete.
Okay, yeah. So, for instance, I still have the child support, and we're losing our house, and I have.
So is he, I'm sorry, I have to clarify here. You said your husband, but now you're saying child support. So are you and your husband divorced?
No, we're living in the same home, separated. But
okay.
I still get...
So were you given child support by a court, or is this something that you worked out with him?
No, this is by court. It'll be switching back to him, but right now it's still my... For the kids, and we need it. Kids, so it's it's definitely pertinent.
Sure,
of course. So what's your go ahead? What's your question?
Yeah, my question is because we're losing the house, but I feel like he's manipulating me with the money, and I definitely think we're in for foreclosure. We're banned. And I understand that, but I still have to use the money to buy kids' school clothes. And
so, in terms of setting a boundary here, I mean that's a matter of talking with your attorney about this.
Yeah,
so
unfortunately, it's gone that far.
In terms of the actual dealing with him directly, what's the boundary that you're trying to set there?
Yeah, well, I don't have an attorney because I can't afford it. So the boundary is, him being hassled, aggressive to get that money, and I'm not able to give that to him yet. So I don't know how to set a boundary with his anger.
And he has no interest in the welfare of the children, taking care of them. From what you're telling us, he just wants to move on and take the money with him. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, he wants to pay the mortgage with it. And then
So the thing is, Christine, I think, you know, you're saying how do you set boundaries with his anger? You can't stop him from being angry or taking it out on you. What you have to focus on is how to set a better internal boundary on how that anger affects you and how much you're willing to internalize it. Right. So going back to what I was sharing with our previous caller, when somebody lashes out, that's a sign that their emotional temperature has gone up to the point that their thinking brain has gone offline and their emotional brain is taking over. And when our emotional brain takes over, what we're hoping to do is we either shut down and pout and withdraw, or we lash out in anger and tantrum, or we lecture and just sort of run off at the mouth. And the strategy behind, or the goal behind each of those three different behaviors is to try to either avoid the problem or bully the other person into submission. We're not really trying to solve the problem or partner with the person. So the thing you have to do is realize that he's not actually trying to partner with me when he's in this place. And you need to set a very clear boundary that says, okay, husband, I am willing to have this conversation with you if you can be calm and respectful. But if you're going to approach me like this, I can't have this discussion with you because you're not a safe person to have a conversation with. So when you're ready to talk to me like a human being, come find me, we'll talk. And then that's all you say. You repeat that over and over and over. He yells, well, you're the one who was talking to me, and you're the one who this, and then I'm really sorry you feel that way. When you're ready to come and talk to me respectfully, I'm happy to have this conversation. But until then, you're not a safe person to discuss this with. How dare you say I'm not a safe person to discuss it? What about you? You did this and that and the other thing. I'm really sorry you feel that way, but when you're ready to speak to me respectfully, I'm happy to have this conversation. But until then, you're not a safe person to talk with this about. Do you see what I'm saying? You're not giving him anything to feed this fire. He's intentionally losing it because he's hoping that if he can just lose it enough, that's going to convince, it's going to wear you down and he's going to get what he wants. But if you don't give him any traction on it by setting that internal boundary that says, this anger is not about me. This anger is a manipulative attempt to get out what he wants out of me, and it's more of a sign of his loss of his own emotional control than it is about anything that I've done. So you need to have the conversation, but you need to make sure that you let him know that the price of admission to that conversation is respect. So if you, by holding that specific boundary and repeating it over and over and over and over and over again, you show him how he could have the discussion with you, but how you're not going to have the conversation if it isn't respectful. So, Christine, that's where I'm going to encourage you to go with that. We talk about this more in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can check it out there to learn more about how to set better boundaries with your ex. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Who's up next, Lisa?
Let's talk with Gail, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Gail, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you? Gail, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, Gail. What's up?
Oh, great. Yep. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. You mentioned setting healthy Christian boundaries, and mm-hmm. if it is too harsh. And that's my question. If my boundary that I set with my sister is too harsh, and she's 3 years younger than me, and I'm 70 years old, and she lives in New Jersey, and I live in Texas, and once every couple of years, we get together and do a vacation together, and so we spend time together, and she is my sister, and I love my sister, I respect my sister. She goes to a Calvary church ever since her son died, and she's goes to Bible study and weekly services, and she's been doing this for quite some time now. And of course, I'm in the Catholic Church, and she knows that I'm Catholic. I've been Catholic for a while, and when we get together, there's so many times that she treats me so disrespectfully that it crushes me. It really crushes me to the point where I shut down when it's
happening. Can you give me an example, Gail? Like what happened the last time?
Excuse me?
Can you give me an example? Like what happened the last time?
Like, for example, if I didn't go through an amber light, okay, I'm driving. I do most of driving. And if I don't go through the amber light, she will start yelling at me. Why did you stop? It wasn't red. Why did you stop?
Okay, so that's just nitpicking stuff, but, like, is there anything that cuts more to your heart? Like, how does she pick on you about your Catholicism?
Yeah, the whole setup was about faith differences, so you sort of threw me for a loop there. So is that tied to what you were saying before, or you're just saying in general she's mean?
She tries to find things to criticize me, and she stares at me. And she stares at me with this horrible look, and it's been going on for years.
How have you tried to address this with her? Have you tried to address it with her at all?
That's what I was trying to tell you, that when she treats me like this, I shut down because it hurts me so much, and then I wait until I become at peace with myself, try to settle down and just be at peace, so I can talk to her, and then I'll talk to her about what she said and what she did, and she just fights back. And it's been going on her entire life, and she's had a very, very hard life, very, very hard life.
I can imagine.
And I haven't had a hard life, you know, and I feel like there's something I cannot change.
So Gail, I think, you know, you have, you know, you're saying you question whether your boundary is too harsh, but you haven't really set any boundary at all. So no, I don't think it's too harsh. Here's what I need you to do. You know, I think the way you're handling it is appropriate. Like, it's in fact with what I've been talking about with a previous caller, right, who was complaining about somebody coming at his wife coming at him too hot. And I was saying, you know, when we're too angry, that's not a call to action, that's a call to prayer. And that's what you're doing. Your sister does something that upsets you, you kind of step back from it, you let it go in the moment, you pray about it, you think about it, you calm down, and then you try to address it with her. That's terrific. That's all really good stuff. Now, then she pushes back and fights with you. That's where you need to set the boundary, where you say to her, listen, sister, I'm not asking your permission to be offended by you. I'm telling you that what you're doing is offensive. And if you love me, you'll stop doing that. So are you willing to talk about that and how we can handle those situations better next time? Or do I just need to not see you next time? Because I would hate for that to happen. But if you love being mean to me more than you love me, then I just can't be around you as much. And that would break my heart. So what's it going to be? You see what I'm saying? That's the boundary. That it's like, I'm not going to argue about this with you. I don't need to convince you that it was offensive. I'm telling you it was offensive. It was hurtful. And if you want me to continue having vacations with you, and I'd really love to do that, we can't keep this up. Okay, so what's it going to be? Can we talk about how to handle those situations differently, and you could admit that, you know, that you hurt me? Or do I just not need to spend as much time with you? Which would be really sad, but that's where it's going to have to go if it's going to keep being like this. See, that's what a good boundary is, because you're not saying, I've cut you out of my life because you were mean to me. You're not saying, I'm done with you. You know? You're saying, I want to have a better relationship with you. So, but in order for that to happen, this needs to change. Can we work on this so that we can make it better next time? Or, you know, do you just need to keep doing what you're doing, and I need to put some distance between us? Which would make me sad, but I'm willing to do for both of our sakes. And that's not just good for you, Gail, because it preserves you from being, you know, treated poorly by your sister. It also prevents you from being a near occasion of sin to your sister. You know, as Catholics, we don't just avoid sin, we try to avoid near occasions of sin. What does that mean? Well, it's like a near occasion of sin is if I'm an alcoholic and I walk into a bar, right? I'm not drinking, but it's all right there. Well, there are just some people that can't be around us without their worst selves coming out. We become a near occasion of sin for them. So we set boundaries so that we can protect ourselves from the sinful behavior, but also we can protect them from being led into sin because they can't handle being around us. So what you're trying to do here is give your sister an opportunity to address a wound so that you guys can have a better relationship. in the example that I'm given. So, Gail, I hope that this gives you some ways forward. We talk more about this in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And with that, it's time for our break and for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23.
Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
And this, you know, again, highlights the importance of setting appropriate boundaries. We guard our heart not to keep people out, not to shut ourselves away from people or to avoid relationship. We guard our heart so that the relationships we are in are healthy and appropriate and respectful of the fact that we are sons and daughters of God and deserve to be treated that way.
And that those relationships are healthy and appropriate to make room for God to be there, to make room for the Holy Spirit to work between us and the other person.
Boundaries leave room for the Holy Spirit.
I'm suddenly on the dance floor in eighth grade. But it's true. They really do.
With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We'll be back in just a minute with more of your calls.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
So glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, we're talking about Boundary Boot Camp. Setting boundaries, maintaining those boundaries, checking if those boundaries are really the boundaries that need to be. Basically, boundaries aplenty, boundaries galore. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Elizabeth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Elizabeth, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm Elizabeth, and I am wallowing in a sea of guilt.
Uh-oh.
Oh, honey, what's going on?
I have a friend who I've known since probably middle school. We're both in our mid-60s. She has taken a tremendous turn for the worse. She's bipolar. She is out of money, never married, no kids. She's in a sort of a group home type setting.
Wow, okay.
You know, and I'm pretty much the only person now out of our big group of friends that she really keeps in touch with, because we are both strong Christians. She's Catholic, I'm Lutheran. I listen to a lot of Catholic radio, so, you know, we have a lot of good discussions about it. But now it's come to the point where we no longer, she's calling me sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a day. I can't use the bathroom right now. I'm not following my physical therapy schedule. What should I do? So, you know, my debit card's been hacked. She calls me morning, noon, night.
And with very intense things that you can't necessarily do a blessed thing about.
No. And I've told her, I said, you need to listen to your medical team. Call your bank. And finally, you know, at 8:30 at night, she calls me about a debit card thing. And I didn't take the call. How guilty do I feel? Yes. She goes, please call me before 9 o'clock. And I didn't. I texted her the next day and said, sweetheart, you need to, you know, get a hold of your bank. And, you know, the guilt is here I am. Oh, Miss Christian, but now I'm just sort of not taking all of her phone calls.
Well, that's a good boundary to set. So let me ask you this, Elizabeth. Let's go back to that first time you're doing this, right? She texts you about a debit card thing, and you don't take the call. And the next day, you have an interaction with her. Was she hysterical? Had she tried to text or call you 400 times that night? Or did she just settle down and stop pursuing you that night?
She settled down and stopped pursuing. She never called me again that night. And in the morning when I texted her, she did not respond. I think she panics. And it's panic calling constantly.
But so that boundary that you're setting is actually forcing her to reset her emotional system rather than use you to do it.
Yeah, there's you know the kind of thing that you're describing, right? I don't want you to feel guilty about this because what's happening is if you take that call when she's panic calling you, you're actually becoming part of the problem, right? Because you're rewarding the behavior in a sense. So by taking the call, you end up giving her in that moment that sense that that you could actually do something about this. This is the right thing to do.
And not only that, you're validating her panic, right? So if we're, you know, in the street and somebody, you know, screams, you know, fire or some other thing that's supposed to, you know, make everybody crazy and everybody panics, each person is then validating that there's something to panic about when it might be a hoax or it might just be somebody who saw something wrong. Or we're taught, even in grade school, right? Go back to grade school. We have fire drills so that if we have a real fire, we don't panic. We can step through it in a way that keeps us all calm and safe. Well, when she's setting off the fire alarm emotionally by texting you and calling you and texting you and calling you, if you buy into it every time, you're telling her, yeah, you're right. There's something to panic about. That's why I'm calling you back. We've got to get on this. We've got to fix this. Rather than allowing her to calm down and reset mentally so that if there is a way you could actually help her by telling her the steps, as you were saying you were going to do, she's able to receive it. Because in that panic mode at 9 o'clock at night, there's not a lot she can do.
When we're dealing with a friend or family member who is struggling with serious problems, whether those are mental health problems or other issues, we have to be careful to know what we can do and what we can't. Right? So you can be there as a support to her for to talk about faith stuff, to talk about friendship stuff, to talk about, you know, just lives and be a friend to her. But you're not a counselor, you know, and you're not a case manager, and you're not you're not a bank employee who can help her with the debit card situation. You know, at most you can do exactly what you did. And so the best way you could be a help to her is by having some clear boundaries that say, for instance, hey, look, you know, if you want to talk, I'm free at this time. Call me then. You know, and whether that's, you know, a particular time every day or a couple times a week, you decide, you know, what's a reasonable amount of time that you have to give to her while still attending to your own life and the things that God has given you to do. And if she calls at any other time, you can either, you know, if she's panic calling you, you know, let a couple hours go by and then do exactly what you did to just text her. Hey, honey, I'm really sorry to hear that you're having a hard time. You should talk to your case manager about that. Or, I'm sorry you're having a hard time. You should call the bank about that. And then, you know, boom, you're done. Or, you know, you can text, oh, if it's something appropriate, if she says, hey, I thought of this, I heard this thing on the radio and I wanted to talk to you about it, you can say, that sounds like a great thing. I want to hear more about it. Let's talk about that when we talk at our regular time on Tuesday. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? So you're not shutting the door on her. You're helping her realize what she can turn to you for and what she would be better off turning to other people for because they're more qualified to handle it. And you're making the relationship healthier in general. So, you know, this is another metaphor I kind of thought about here is when I was in Scouts and I was earning my swimming merit badge, they made a big deal out of saying, hey, look, you know, if somebody is drowning, don't jump in the water to try to save them because then you got two drowning people.
Yeah.
You know, you reach out to them with the pole from the edge of the pool, or you throw the life raft to them from the edge of the pool, but you don't, what you do when you take that panic call, you're jumping in the water and she's pulling you down with her. And that might sound cold, but it's not, because, you know, what good does having two people panicking do for the situation?
And on top of it, I just want to add, if you don't set these boundaries, you are going to reach a point of burnout with her, and then you won't be able to be a support at all anymore.
Which would be a shame.
Because you're just going to be too wasted to do it.
Thanks for the call, Elizabeth. I hope these suggestions will help you moving forward. And again, the book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, a great resource for setting healthy Christian boundaries. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And if you're looking for more support in setting good, healthy boundaries, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life in the light of God's grace. Again, CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.